from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, and my swamp-based beings, all otters and all, you know, all our friendly friends out there. Oh boy. Talk about a treat. What would it be? What's a treat in a swamp? If you're a swamp-based being, let me know. Could just, you, I mean, I would wonder, even like fictional swamp treats. Because you'd say, well, bog water, that's one. But you'd say, well, no, that we got plenty of bog water. Well, that's what we live in, Scoots. That's just a fiction. That's a fictionalized swamp-based treat from, you know, people that don't live in swamps or visit them. And I'd say, well, what about goo balls? And I say, oh, my grandma, that's a name, you know, that's a, you know, transferable name you could use anywhere. But yeah, my grandmother, she made the best goo balls. Okay, but you're an amphibian, so I really don't want to know any more about what's in the goo balls because this is a sleep podcast, but I can imagine that it's amphibious, a treat so neat, even the amphibians, to an amphibian, it tastes sweet, goo balls. You know, when I was young, it's time for, what am I... What in the name of goo balls am I talking about? I say, well, there's some up in my brain, I'm pretty sure. And if you're here and you're new, you're probably wondering, well, it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. Hey, everybody, it's Scoots here. Before we get on with the rest of the stuff, I just want to let you know you're important. This show is built on a foundation of empathy and compassion. That's why I'm here for you. That's, you know, for those of you the show helps, that's what makes it work. And really, I want you to have empathy and compassion for yourself and other people. But it always starts, you know, internally. And if you need some extra help right now, you know, kind of say, hey, you talk to yourself like that. Hey, do you need some extra help right now? Well, there's links right in the show notes. So right in your podcast app, you could reach out to somebody right now and connect with them. And I want you to do that, okay? And then if you're in a place where you're feeling a little bit more grounded, and you say, well, I want to be a part of the solution. I want to be a part of positive change. I want to support the fact that Black Lives Matter. I want you to support Black mental health and making it a priority, making mental health a priority for everybody. But right now, as we've seen, members of our community need our support. So I'm going to have links to organizations. We could take action. You could put your money behind things. You could let your voice be heard. Or if you need some more support, there's going to be links to those resources all right in our show notes. Because I'm here for you. And you know, getting you a good night's sleep, maybe you could be there for you too. And then if you're there for you, say, hey, I want to be here for the other people in my world too. So that's that. And now this is some of the sponsors that enable me to bring you this show twice a week. Thanks, everybody. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me, so if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it. I said, hey, would you pay to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you to hear. It's where I pop my peas, if you please. If you're not listening or you don't want to check it out now, go when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, you can find our sponsors at on our website, sleepwithmepodcast.com. But I want to thank the listeners who supported the sponsors. I want to thank Little Seal and Baby Bird who got their Quip on. Oh, boy, when you support Quip, let me know which flosser. Did you get the new flosser? Or the pop-up floss? What flavor toothpaste? What color toothbrush? I want to know, man. Because, it's just interesting to me. And I want to thank Kim, who supported Sweaty Betty. And Kim said she has a lot of experience with different tight companies and loves her Sweaty Betties. So thank you, Little Seal, Baby Bird, and Kim for supporting Quip and Sweaty Betty. If you support a sponsor, tag them on Instagram. Tag them on social media. Send them a message. Give them a call. Let them know their sponsorship is valuable to you. That's why you supported them, because you found out about them through the show. And let me know about it, and I can try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need. If you're having a tough time right now, there's going to be links to organizations that you can reach out to for support right now. So go ahead and do that. And there's going to be links to organizations to show your support for the rest of the community and their mental health. And to say Black Lives Matter, Black mental health matters, and it's a priority. So there'll be links to organizations to that in the show notes. And the third part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support. And I've been talking about Appearances, the beautiful podcast by Sharon Mashihi. It is absolutely, it's something you connect with deeply emotionally. It's just one of those searing pieces of fiction that's rooted in so many relatable things. It has a balance of joy and humor, you know, with self-exploration, joy, humor, and then just stuff. It's mind-blowing, mind-bending, mind-blowing. But I want to hear from you. Start at the prologue, listen, and let me know. You can find Appearances in your podcast app of choice. Just type in Appearances. I'm not exactly sure how to spell that, so I don't want to. I'd rather embarrass myself by being honest. I think it starts with appearances. APPP. So just search for it in your podcast app of choice right now. Hit subscribe. Start listening to it tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. And what do you say? Oh, Mystery Bard. A lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
This posty poster song sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. the Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer, and Ashley. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song. Christmas, y'all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at Sleep With Me Podcast. And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation. And Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. You could commission a song from Mystery Bard, song.jonathanmann.net. And what do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing? Trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, things you're thinking about, feelings, so anything, you know, on your mind, anything you're experiencing emotionally or physical sensations that are coming up for you. those are the big, those are what we call the big three, even though they cover way more. We don't actually, I don't even call it the big three. I just thought of that right now. But those are three general areas, but there could be other stuff, you know, like, but, you know, we haven't talked about in a while, but buzzing lights, gently sleeping partners, sleeping with a volume, ducks, I don't know, maybe, or geese. What if you lived in a high, here's a question that's never come up on the podcast before, but so we know, well, we don't know much, but, so we know that, well, okay, we can establish some things as facts that I made generally known by Scooter that they could be facts. Birds do migrate. I know that much. There's something called migratory bird patterns or something, or, you know, they go in a general direction because they migrate from somewhere to somewhere else. And I know there's places where they count birds because it's like part of the, it's on the migratory, because I've been to a couple places where there's bird counting going on. And even where I went to one last year where I wasn't there for the counting season, but I saw the way they even had signs up so that people could, anyway, that's about all I know. But I'm getting somewhere. If you're new, I'm really going nowhere, but I'm slowly going there. So if we establish those things, that birds do have, not all, like this is, it could be an SAT question, but some birds migrate. Some birds migrate together. Some birds or most birds make noise, like cawing or like geese calling or goosing. This is an SAT question. Some birds are geese, but all geese are birds. Right? Those are the questions that I could count on to get right. But I think you have to, and then it would be a multiple choice question after that. But so, okay, so we're there, we got those things. Okay, so then some birds that migrate that are birds that also make noise, that travel together, are frequent flyer, they go over a flyover zone, correct? So somewhere, there, at least it's possible that there's someone that lives in a home or a house or a building, a domicile, could be an apartment, could be something else, where the birds fly over a lot. And that could be something, there could be a Sleep With Me listener who, like what I was saying is that could be a very specific usage of Sleep With Me, where you say, yes, Scoots, I only listen during migration season, which is whatever, seasonally. I mean, we do have a lot of seasonal listeners, but you say, because those geese or whatever, they could be whatever. I don't think crows migrate, but let's just say crows are a noisy bird. No offense. Some crows are noisy. You're right. Some crows. But can you imagine if crows were migrating over your house, particularly if they had, like your tree was like where they took, they say, okay, let's, okay, kids, we're going to pull into this tree here and stay within four or five branches. We get out your snack and you could talk to the other kids, you know, be sure to use the air, you know, restroom and make a lot, you know, get it out of your system, make a lot of noise, you know, because only the only kind of bird calling we're going to be doing while we're up, some part of my brain just broke in with breaking news for me. Birds are migrating to make other birds, so they probably wouldn't be migrating with their family. And they'd say, well, thanks, you really ruined that analogy, brain. Oh, I forgot, speaking of analogies, I'm supposed to be talking to the new listener. Well, whatever's keeping me awake, I'm here to take your mind off of that. Believe it or not, I think that I did. I mean, that's a nice image to accept if you're the person that lives in the house. But let's pretend it's a tree far, far away where even a bunch of birds on break, you know, kind of like you pull off the interstate and you go and there's picnic tables and that kind of stuff. So where was I? Okay. So whatever's keeping awake, I'm here to take your mind off of that. What I'm going to do, what I propose to do is create a nice place, just like this bird zone or a nice, rest stop, where you could set aside whatever's keeping me awake, and I'll take your mind off. It's a safe place. I'm going to smooth it. I'm going to pat it. I'm going to rub it down. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Creaky like that tree that the birds are in. If the birds weren't there, you can't hear it creaking now because the birds are all talking and chat. You know, getting out of, like they said, we got another 48 days in this whatever thermal, this jet stream. So, you know, make sure to get out of your system because by the way, Junior, we're not stopping for another 4 days. I don't know how long birds go for. You know, I know so little, but honestly, I find you fascinating. Holy cow. Someone once said that you're related to dinosaurs. And I mean, I think, I don't know if that was Malcolm Gladwell or the other one that's in the movies, but I don't know. Doesn't Malcolm Gladwell usually has a one word, birds, the amazing science within our brain, bird brain. Bird brain comes up on this podcast a lot. The science and facts behind bird brains and how it can unlock our relationship with one another. Probably not. You're right. Well, at least, you know, who would have thought? I don't know if Malcolm Gladwell ever dreamed of this day that has come multiple times. Well, you'd say, is there any genre of books that doesn't have fan fiction? Well, not, yeah, nonfiction books. Well, not anymore. I solved that. I wrote the first, I intended to write the first of many books of fan fiction based on Malcolm Gladwell's books. And I call it Sleep with, the first book I called was an intro where I was supposed to be introducing a sleep podcast, and then I talked about birds for a while. It was about bird family migrating together. They were rebels. Everybody said, you're supposed to go down there to make kids, not bring your kids on this trip. And they said, why don't you mind your own bird's wax? We're part of this, we're part of this flock, and we're just trying to eat our snacks here. So please just go keep your branches. Our family migrates together. And they say, okay, well, listen, can I just ask you a question in private? What are you going to do with your kids when you get down there? Because, you know, that's when nature takes hold, if you know what I'm saying. You see, we're birds. The process really isn't as glamorous as a person that writes Malcolm Gladwell fiction would hold in their mind. Anyway, he should just move on. You're right, I should. Right away. Okay, so whatever's keeping me awake. Oh, I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. Lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Pointless meanders. I think we've been on like a 12-minute pointless meander. Superfluous tangents. All those things. To keep you company while you fall asleep. That's basically the show in a nutshell. Yes. So a couple things to know. Like usually I don't go off the topic that much that early, though. I mean, only like 40 to 90% of the time. But some things to know. This podcast does take getting used to. Most listeners that are regular listeners say it took 2 or 3 tries to get used to it. So if you're skeptical or doubtful or very confused, I mean, listen to, I can understand that, particularly tonight. But you may also be, well, I can picture that bird family in the tree. It's pretty nice. It's a pretty nice, okay image, not particularly striking. Obviously, there's a lot of scientific mistakes in there. But it's pleasant. I can see them passing around sandwiches or whatever that they, I don't know where a bird would put their stuff. You know, they would probably in reality do some gathering or something. I don't know. But just in this image, they have a picnic basket full of sandwiches. And yeah, the ability they have, also, yes, they do have opposable thumbs within my mind. Okay, so whatever's keeping awake, give the show a few tries and just see how it goes, because it's very different. Some of the things that are different about it, believe it or not, this is a podcast you don't really listen to. You may have already figured that out. You just kind of barely listen, because it comes with a lot of nonsense and goofy stuff, but really that's here to keep you company while you fall asleep. This podcast also doesn't put you to sleep. It just keeps you company as you drift off. That's why I'm here about an hour, to give you plenty of time. Or if you can't sleep and you need company, or you wake up and you need company, or it's during the day and you need company, I'll be here. I'm here to the very end of the episode. So there's that. So those are two things to know. A couple other things to know that can throw new listeners off. The structure of the show. Show starts off with a greeting. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary, and in this episode, swamp-based beings, or bird and bird families. And then there's business. That's how we keep the show out twice a week, is the business versus a paywall or something like that. Then there's an intro. Now, the intro really throws new people off, even some regular listeners. I just read a review of someone that said the whole 30% of the, or 30 minutes of the show is ads, which just isn't accurate. But yeah, there's ads at the beginning. Then there's an intro that's about 20 minutes, and it's 20 minutes of me, in some sense, getting warmed up and not getting to the point, but that's kind of the point of the show. So for a regular listener, the intro provides you a way to get some distance from the day and gives you like a built-in part of your bedtime routine that you can kind of adjust your bedtime routine in the show to. Like, you can start listening before you get into bed, as you're getting ready, or whatever you're doing to wind down. Or if you say, well, the podcast is my wind down, the intro's there to wind you down and give you, ease you into sleep. I don't have a way personally, and most of the listeners, of like just falling asleep, like closing your eyes and falling asleep. For us, that's just not an option. So this podcast gives you something to kind of barely listen to, whether your eyes are open and you're knitting, or they're closed and you're just getting comfortable, or you're brushing your teeth, whatever it is. And yeah, 2% of listeners skip ahead to 20 minutes and just get, they start the show there and they go on. So that's the intro. And yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to new listeners or some people. You just say, so you spend 20 minutes talking about nothing? And it's a pretty poor, you're right, and it's a pretty important part of the show. I mean, I talk about something, in this case, like the one person that's out there or multiple people out there that are living in high bird zones, you know, that they just have never been. This is the time. Finally, in one intro, I'm able to give some Hollywood glamour to people that live in HBZs, high bird zones, or HBT, high bird traffic zones, HBTZs, or HB, you know, high bird, FBMs, frequent bird, FBMZs, frequent bird migration zones. So all of those people are getting glamorized. And then the other people out there writing Malcolm Gladwell fan fiction, especially, romance or whatever. You know, the day I fell in love, throwing a rock through a window. And I learned, you know, whatever it is. Somebody out there could be writing that. And they say, finally I get glamorized on a sleep podcast. Or maybe there's like an even deeper form of fan fiction where there's a fictional Malcolm Gladwell who goes home and they say, Malcolm, I heard you got some people writing fomance about your stuff. Finally, you've made it. There's a spot at our dinner table for you once again your mother's dream has finally come true. One day there'll be Blaze. Maybe there'll be a Tingler about a fictionalized character based on your, you know, hard research and hard work. So it's just ridiculous. I'm only laughing at my own ridiculousness. So that's the intro. Oh, yeah, the intro. It just goes on and on and on. I can't help myself, I guess. Then after the intro is business. That's just how podcast structure works, and it's essential to keeping the show free. Then after the business is a story. Tonight it'll be our ongoing episodically modular series, Otter Things, that you can listen to in any order. Every episode before this would just be a prequel if you're listening to this episode first. And then there's thank yous at the end. So that's the structure of the show. That's the kind of, the only other thing you need to know is, like, I make this show because I've been there, tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep, bothered by birds. I mean, that's true. Like, there's been many, many times I said, what in the heck is with those joyful bird sounds? They're really getting on my nerves. And I may have even used stronger language than that. And so I've been there. So that's one part of it. I want to help because I've been there. But the other side of it is you. You deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place of solace. And if I can provide that for you, it would be my honor. So I guess, like, that's really why I make the show. If you can get some rest via this podcast, I'd be happy. Now, knowing that, if you're new, give it a few tries because it doesn't work for everybody, particularly right away. So just see how it goes. And then in the end, I wish it did work for everyone, but some people just don't like the show or it just isn't effective for them because it is so different. But that actually is what ends up making it actually work for the people it works for. It's like, oh, this, would have never, I thought I was the only person that thought about this kind of stuff, but finally someone, like I said, glamorizes it for me. They said, I thought I was the only one with a bare grasp of birds, but I really like them anyway. I thought I was the only one that believed in the half science of birds, but finally there's someone who puts it out in the public sphere. So anyway, the main message I want to get to you is I'm glad you're here. I really appreciate your time. I really hope I can help you get to sleep. I work really hard on the show. You're in a nice drive. So thank you again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways I'm able to bring this podcast to twice a week. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. ZocDoc.com/sleep.
Zocdoc.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody, it's time for our episodically modular, serialized, barely serialized series, Odder Things. This is the last fictional episode, then we'll have a recap episode. So I'm going to turn things over. I think, episodically modular means you can listen to it in any order. So if this is your first episode, don't worry. We'll try to get you caught up on everything. And then you could listen to it. And if you've never listened, you say, well, I don't watch that show. This is a bedtime story. Don't worry about it at all. It's made to help you fall asleep and keep you company. And before I get started, I just want to introduce things with our Hollywood famous introducer, the most famous person in our town, Mr. Antonio Banderas. Thank you, Emma. As the ladies, the gentlemen, the boys, the girls, the friends beyond the binary, it's time to journey to a place beyond the swamp. It's time for Odder Things. Splish, splash. Thanks, Antonio. So without further ado, I'm going to turn things over to Miss Emma Odder, and she'll take it from here. Hey, everybody, this is Emma Odder here. I'm your host. Welcome to our story called Odder Things. It's a tale of a place beyond the swamp where I, Emma Odder, and my friends live, and my family, and a place where a lot of odd things have happened to those of us otters, beavers, muskrats, porcupines, and more. So I'm Emma, I'm in middle school, and I have some very good friends. Some of my best friends are named Vaughn, LJ, Willow, and Billy. And once upon a time when our life was a little bit, it was odd, but a little bit more, less needed to be shared with the world, we played a game called Bards and Big Bunnies. This was before we met our friend Billy. It's a role-playing adventure game. You play dice in your imagination. And one night after playing, my friends headed home, but Willow took a path less taken, and she was kind of led on a goose chase through the swamp and then into a strange another world by being, presumably at this point we know from another world, who was a goose, two-headed goose, or I guess technically three heads, or a goose bunny, like, let's just say that, a bunny and a goose, that may probably from another universe or impact, I don't know, like that lived under the swamp, but also kind of on a plane between our world and another world. Kind of complicated to explain. And there the goose bunny took Willow and also her sister's friend, Babs, and treated them like toy babies in a kind way, took good care of them. But the thing was that because it was somewhere beneath the swamp, that was also in another world. Eventually, because Babs drifted into the other world, and like all that remained behind was a doll. And the same thing happened to Willow. And we, but during this time, we didn't know where Willow was. We were looking for her. That's where we met Billy, a platypus. We'll get into, I guess, quickly, but don't worry, all will be well. I always tell you, eventually, While we used Billy to find where Willow was, Willow's mom, Frances, and the head of our community resources department, Leon, or Bullfrog, probably you have to be a pretty cool bullfrog to be known as Bull. But they eventually found Willow, brought her back. So all is well with Willow. Now, meanwhile, so Billy lived in a place underneath a place on the other side of the swamp known as the Visitor Center. And she has powers that she can use the power of song to make things happen. For you'll see in this episode. But for example, if she said, the stars at night are big and bright, the stars might get brighter, at least to you, as she was singing it. And so we worked with her. We found that's how we found where Willow was, so that her mom and Leon could find her. But the people that ran the visitor center underneath the swamp, they had been kind of using Billy's superpowers or magic powers, however you want to describe it, as part of some sort of pseudoscience, larger community resource thing. It was a lab, I guess. And it was run by a fox named Dr. Max Modine. And Dr. Max is not ready to let Billy go. And so while everybody was out, or the adults were looking for Willow, we were waiting for them to return with Willow. And we found out that, oh, no, the Dr. Max and his team of weasels, paramilitary, I would say, had tracked us down. So we were hiding in a set of lockers. We'd fallen asleep, and we were hiding for them as they were searching for us. And I guess that's like where we'll start. I'm trying to think if there's anything else you need to know. I mean, I guess not. Like they started searching for us, and eventually, like, we weren't actually hiding in the lockers. We were hiding in a secret hallway behind the lockers, where presumably the school, this was at the high school, not our school, but where the school could just look in people's lockers without unlocking them or them even knowing it. And Dr. Max and everybody, they'd searched the whole school. They still couldn't find us, but they knew we were there. And then one of the weasels was walking up and down the hall, and he said, "Hey, look at this here. So here's a love note sticking out of this locker here. Hardy har har." And he started reading the love note, which said, like, "Dear Sweetie Pooh, your fur is like the, you know," something like that. Like when the moonlight on the breeze in the trees, he was reading it in that weasel. It has a moon in the trees, you know. But Dr. Max said, "Stop, what, what?" And he said, "It's a love note." What do you mean, what? Yeah, it smells like almonds. And Dr. Max said, "Did you say it was sticking out of a locker?" And then everybody paused and realized, oh, wait a second, the lockers. And we were behind the lockers, but we still were like trembling, you know, as they started opening the lockers, and throwing stuff out of the lockers. And they'd say, "Clear, this locker's empty, clear." And some of the lockers were very neat, and some of them, you know, you could hear them, and then you could see, well, there's like snacks in here and stuff. And it was tight back where we were. We were all kind of pressed together. Like I said, at first it was dreamy and nice, and now it kind of felt hot and sweaty. But I didn't really mind being scrunched up next to Billy. It made me really feel all as well. And then Vaughn and LJ were on the other side. But then, once again, an accidental weasel uncover. He said one of the weasels was looking at a mirror that was like to the back of the locker. And I think maybe this was one of these weasels that had like a twin brother or best friend that worked for Dr. Max. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Hey, look at this. It says, like it had a joke on the mirror." I don't know which one. Like, even though it's Monday, you look like a Friday or something. And I said, no, you don't. And it went to hit the mirror in the back of the locker. And it missed, and it hit the wall, and it was empty. And again, Dr. Max said, what was that? And there was nothing, boss, nothing over here. We're just searching these lockers. And Dr. Max walked over. And the weasel said, it's a mirror. It has a magnet. It sticks to the back of the locker. You look great, Dr. Max. And Dr. Max tapped the back of the locker and heard a hollow sound. And then you could hear them motioning, right? And there's a famous movie called Hard to Roll the Dice. Hard to Roll the Die. And it had a scene like this, but the heroine, she was in an air conditioning duct, which I don't know what that is, but it was in the movie. Something they have in cities, I guess, big cities. And they are pressing on it. So they started pressing on the things, and Dr. Max just knew this is where we were. And they were tapping on the lockers, waiting for something that wouldn't be the hollow sound. And they were getting closer and closer to us. And I heard Dr. Max say, "What's find the exits of these things." So we kind of knew we were caught as they started pushing in. And then one pushed in right where I was, right into my, almost touching my chest. And of course, it made a different sound because it wasn't as hollow because I was standing there. And then we heard the shuffling of weasel feet as they kind of got filled the hall, or weasel paws or whatever. And then they pressed in on Vaughn's and it didn't made a less of a hollow sound. And then LJ's. And then after LJ made a hollow sound. Then they went back to me and then to where Billy was and then after Billy. So they knew exactly where they were. And we were there kind of in the darkness. And then Dr. Max cleared his throat and he said, "Billy, I know you're in there. I know all you are in there. Just come out and we could go home. Your friends could go to their homes and everyone will be well." You could also hear something else, which was the weasels getting ready. And I said, "Wait a second. Well, that doesn't." The weasels, you could almost hear their muscles moving and their nails like clicking in the floor of the hall. It was almost like a creak and a click. So we knew he wasn't totally telling the truth. And then Dr. Max cleared his throat again. He said, "Billy, don't make me start counting down for consequences." And then there was another pause, and Billy swallowed and looked at me. And then Dr. Max started counting down, 5, 4. But then I heard, and I didn't even hear it, I felt another sound deep within Billy, this vibration that kind of started to grow behind the lockers, and I could feel it in my chest and my nostrils and even my teeth as it moved outward. And it was the song Strike It Up that she began to sing, and then everything in the lockers, in the floors, and even the lockers themselves lifted up and flew and started flying around and dancing around Dr. Max and the weasels. And all the lockers that were closed burst open and stuff started flying out of them. And right in that confusion, we ran. Through a storm of papers, the four of us holding hands, wrappers and snacks. And of course, Vaughn wanted to stop, and he even opened his mouth and caught some, what is that called, fiddle faddle in his mouth. And then he said, "Fiddle faddle and bugles together, the taste that nobody wants to taste." And then we said, "Where should we go?" And then we ran into the room where the school has in-school suspensions right around the corner. And I said, this is a good place to hide, because I heard Tefe say that once they put you in here, they forget all about you. And they probably already looked in here, because it was like in the principal's office, but in the back of the principal's office, like these little mini places. And they said, Tefe said, they can't even hold me. The school, you know, you can't hold Tefe down, a good otter down, even in school suspension. And we ran in there, past the nurse's office, past the principal's office, and past, you know, that printing machine, that prints in purple. I don't know what that was called. It smells like weird. And then when we ran in, it was just a hall with a bunch of rooms and a bunch of doors. And we immediately realized, wait, these are just like little study rooms. So there's no exit here. And we started searching for a place to hide. There was like a desk facing all of it, where I guess some monitor would keep an eye on the kids that were in school suspension. A lot of dust. We knew it would only be a second until the weasels got there. So we were trying to look for anything we could use. And Vaughn jumped up on the desk and knocked over this big box. And out of it tumbled a bunch of these cones that said, I said, don't say? Is this like some sort of French class thing? Dune. It's like maybe it's for that Dune. Remember that book, Dune? Is that, I thought it was called Dune. And then LJ said, don't you know that's dunce? It's like an insulting term for troublemakers that authority figures use. It's not appropriate and kind. And just like your brother Tefe, he's probably been called a dunce before. And we said, well, we got to hide. Can we use these? And then Vaughn said, like, is a dunce like a jester? And LJ said, yeah, kind of. These cones, you got to wear them on your heads. And then we said, well, what if we point them out in the door? So we started stacking them with the points out in the doorway. And Vaughn said, you can use your mind to shoot them out at the weasels when they come. And we filled the whole doorway with cones. From the outside, it must have looked like some sort of, I don't know, in the inside, it was just paper circles. So as we were stacking the cones, the weasels came, and Vaughn said, sing a song like rock. Can you sing one of the famous rocket songs by Bowie or Elton? And Billy just kind of stared at him. She said, is a jester and a fool the same thing, like in William Turtlespear? Because Dr. Max used to read me William Turtlespear. And I said, yeah, I think so. And she said, okay. And the weasels gathered outside, and they said, nah, your doctor's not here right now. So we're going to soften you up. But Vaughn wasn't listening either. He said, get ready for countdown to Major Tom. And then LJ said, Major Tong. And then they just said, anyway, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then nothing happened, and we were waiting. And we looked back at Billy, but she was already singing, but it wasn't a space. It was like a sad, sweet song with a little bit of fun. It wasn't rocket-like at all. But then the weasels started pulling the dunce caps out and walking in the room and putting them on their heads. We were like, Billy, what's happening? She started singing, because first she sings throats, but then they started dancing, and they realized the song she was singing was Everybody Plays the Fool, and they started dancing like marionettes, doing some sort of foolish, silly dance, and they started singing along with Billy, and eventually they just went into the different study rooms and sat down like marionettes, exhausted. Then Billy said, don't come out. Like, you're all in big trouble. Like, she was a teacher, and they kind of were like, they were students or something. And they all kind of put their heads down on their desks. And she said, yeah, put your heads down and don't come out until we tell you to. And then we locked all the, and they said, wait a second, you can, these study rooms have, and we locked the doors, and all, like, there's a good portion of weasels we locked in those study rooms. But then I was thinking about the lyrics. I said, well, this is not the lyrics to the song. And I said, oh, well, I guess it's like Billy's Powers. But whatever it was, it worked. And we poked our heads in the hallway, and the hall was clear, and we started running again. And then we were trying to figure out how we could sneak out of the school. And LJ said, well, what about, like I think there's, like, when we were in the science lab, he goes, isn't there the underground compost? He goes, isn't that part of the science lab? And we said, oh, yeah, yeah, maybe we could sneak in there. As you said, oh, yeah, that'll like, get out in there. And he said, yeah, there's an aeration tank in the middle of the sports ball field. So we ran down the hall, and then we got to the science lab door. And as we did, right around both corners came Dr. Max and a bunch of weasels on both sides of us. And as soon as we stopped, Billy fell to her knees and closed her eyes and leaned against me like she needed a nap, like she was tired out from all of her singing and using her powers. And I said, get the door open. We got to get in here and lock the door for Dr. Max, because they were still running towards us, you know. But they got there. And I think we had a little bit of time. Again, my memory is just like, but then Dr. Max said in this very flat voice, Billy, can you hear me? It's your papa here, Billy. It's time to take you home. And then he said, and you three need to step aside and let an adult handle things. You caused enough trouble for everyone here. It's time for me to fix things and take Billy home with us, so just to step aside. Because I'm more than willing to count down. And I said, no. And then Vaughn said, no. And then LJ said, no. And I said, we'll take any consequences you got, Fox Face. Go ahead and count us down. We're ready for you. And then LJ said, yeah, count us down. And Vaughn said, yeah, count us down. And Dr. Max said, I was hoping you'd say that. Weasels, let's count on five, four. And then I said, we're not worried at all, because Billy transferred three. She transferred her power to us. So I'm sorry to say to you and your weasels, you're going to be very, very, very sorry. And I kind of started to make this noise like I was holding a note or warming my voice up. And I held up a finger to my ear like I'd seen in a music video one time. And then LJ said, yep, don't make us sing you into non-existence. And then Vaughn made a squeaky sound like his voice was cracking. He said, have you ever seen what an off-key magical song does to a weasel? And looked at all the weasels, and they had all paused. And Dr. Max even paused for a second. Then Dr. Max said, don't worry about it. They're bluffing. Two. And then I said, okay, And I started to clear my voice. But to be honest, I didn't know we were bluffing, but I thought maybe we could get Billy's powers. And the weasels seemed to believe it. And I said, Vaughn, can you drop a beat on us? And he goes, bop, 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 bop. And then I said, and then LJ said, give me the music. And then I realized, because we just started to dance in sync. First, we put our left foot, we step forward, left over right, right over left, arms down, leaning forward, two hops back, hop on your right leg, 360-degree spin. They kick your thumb back, like you're telling, and we were singing this song. And the Weasels and Dr. Max, they were just stunned because it was so flawless and natural. But that was because we had rehearsed this so many times for this talent show we were going to enter, because it's a song, Everybody Dance Now. And we were going to do it. We were going to do it as like characters we were studying in our literature class. We practiced it all. But then, like we said, wait a second, we'll be the only ones that enjoy this. So we just did it for ourselves in the end. We just got nervous. We didn't enter the talent show, but we knew the dance back and forth. But I'd forgotten about it because it had been a couple of years. And then I started singing, "Gonna make you sweat till you cheese." Is that gross enough? Indeed. And then Vaughn and LJ said, you know, "Gonna make you sweat, baby. Let the rhythm move you." It was a whole thing. Everybody, their jaws were just wild. But I was like full of confidence. I was staring at Dr. Max and the Weasels because, again, they were like, there's no way they could be just dancing like this just on their own. Maybe Billy was still, like, I think in the back of their minds, even Dr. Max thought maybe Billy was actually using her powers with her eyes closed or something. But then Dr. Max shook his head and said, no, 3, 2. And then as he got to 2, the whole building shook. And that's when everybody stopped, even us. And it shook again. And we heard this click, click, clicking. And then it shook again. And then coming running down the hall, we heard the pitter-patter of little feet. And then an Andy Ruxpin ran down the hall underneath all the Weasels' legs, slid with style right up to us, then popped back up and looked at us. And Vaughn jumped and squealed because he thought it was a bug, but it was really just an Andy Ruxpin. And Andy Ruxpin said, "Nice moves, Willow. That's really good. Winkety wink." We said, "Why?" We were stunned. Everybody was stunned. And then Adi Ruxpin said, "I'd duck into that lab right now." And then everything shook again. And as we grabbed the door to the lab, bursting like through the walls and the ceiling was the giant goose bunny. And it was hopping down the hall. It looked very unhappy. And then I realized that the Adi Ruxpin was shaking off all sorts of carrot and peanut butter, and we closed the door. But what I know now is the bunny went down the hall and was grabbing Weasels with its ears and its goose heads and, kissing them very strongly. And they were all trying to stop it, and it was hopping, and it hopped on Dr. Max to give him an extra hug and kiss. And Adi Ruxpin held on to Dr. Max. And then the goose bunnies tried to lick Dr. Max and all the carrot shreds and peanut butter or whatever. And meanwhile, we closed the door of the lab and locked it. But hoping that the bunny would just go away or something. And then we put Billy down and we tried to give her some water. And we heard the Weasels, trying to get out of the way of the bunny and saying, "I'm not a carrot, stop licking me," and all that stuff. And then we heard the bunny kind of saying, "Go to sleep," and singing some of them to sleep. And then it was quiet, and we said, "Okay, that's good, the bunny is good." And then, of course, no, the bunny, doors ripped, the bunny's used its ears like arms and ripped a floppy ear to the door right off its hinges. And LJ said, "Grab some beakers and a Bunsen burner, we'll stop this thing." And we said, "But we got to hook it up to a hose and then find the teacher should keep it, everything." So we were throwing beakers and test tubes at it. And Vaughn was trying to hook up a Bunsen burner. But then it was just kind of deflecting everything with its ears and its goose heads. But it also didn't seem to like, obviously, having that stuff thrown at it. And again, Vaughn was trying to say, get this thing up. And then Vaughn stood up and just bluffed like it had a he had a Bunsen burner. And the bunny took its ears and picked Vaughn up and had him gently rested, laid him on the ground so he would rest and not get in the way. And then LJ came and just kind of dove on the bunny, which didn't work. And it gently placed LJ to the side so he could rest and without being able to help anymore. And then I stood in front of it and I said, no, N-O, leave us alone. We're just kids. You already bothered our friend Willow, and we're not toys. We're not carrots. Go home and leave us alone. And then one of the gooseheads kind of stared at me and then kind of coughed and then spat out an Adi Ruxpin, a different part, Adi Ruxpin parts. And I said, gross. And I said, you know what? I don't think you want this. And I don't think you really, I don't believe you're really here. But it didn't seem to say, like it wasn't listening to me. And I said, we play this game called Bards and Big Bunnies. And sometimes there's beings that are just acting on instinct. Are you sure you're not acting on instinct? And something about that word instinct, I think, made it perk its ears up or something. I said, do you just want one of us as a toy? You tried to take Willow, and now you're going to try to take Billy? I'll go with you. Me. And I said, me. And it looked at me. And I said, I'll come with you if you leave all them alone, all my friends alone, and leave. And I said, do you understand? It nodded. And I said, okay, I'll go with you then. Just leave them alone. And it kind of stared at Billy for a while because I think it had some connection to Billy. But I said, I'll go with you. I'm the most, like, look at me. I'll make a great toy. Googly, googly, goo. And I said, you could even wrap me up. And then it like pulled out a goose thing, went into its bunny fur and pulled out a swaddling blanket. And LJ even said, no, like, but LJ was so tired and rested that said, no, we'll, Emma, no. And I said, yeah, I'll go with you and I'll go to your bunny world. Just don't be rough with anybody else here in our world, okay? Let's just go back to your world in the tracing paper tower or wherever it is you live. And I'll be your big baby if that's really what you want. And then one of the bunnies' goose head started to kind of pat down my head. And then it started to kind of start to swaddle me in this swaddling blanket. And you know what? I wasn't really worried because I did realize the big bunny stuff. And I wasn't being a method actor, but I guess I was in an adventure. And I said, well, this is what it's going to take. All will be well. I'll figure this out. And because some people said it was so courageous and so brave and that, you know, that they could have made a series just about me and what I was willing to do and not about all my friends and everything they did. But I said it wasn't brave. It was just what needed to be done at the time. And I knew it was going to work out. I didn't know how, but I had some confidence. And I said I could probably live with a bunny. I mean, I didn't want to, but it was a choice. I didn't want the bunny to deal with my friends in a non-polite way or my new friend, Billy. So it started to swaddle me, and I said, okay. And then it started to sing to me. And I said, okay. And I started to kind of start to feel strange because I was, well, first of all, I was swaddled in a full size, hadn't been swaddled in like whatever, 10 to 11, 12 years. And I felt like it was singing me a lullaby, but I was like getting transported like into that dreamy place you go when you're asleep. But it was different. I could see a world that wasn't our world. But I was like, okay, here I go. And I felt myself fading and turning into a doll. It was weird, I'll say. And then I heard something move behind the bunny. And then I heard Billy's voice say, no, stop. This stops here. And the bunny stopped singing. And then I saw Billy standing and the bunny turned and looked at Billy. And it made kind of like a geese hiss or whatever. Billy said, it's time for you to go home and it's time for us to wrap this up and unwrap my friend. And I said, oh, wait a second, Billy's going to sing a song. And Billy kind of made a look at me like to use my teeth to unwrap the tie. And I did. I started to de-swaddle myself, I guess because I'm not a little baby. I could pull the swaddle out with my teeth. And I thought, this is awesome, because I could tell Billy was starting to sing. I didn't know what it was about. And I said, oh, great, Billy's going to save me. She's going to deal with this bunny and send it home, and everything's going to be well. Just how I wanted it to turn out, just like before, I was willing to do something. But now, you know, I didn't see it as related, but I said, well, now things are going to work out great, and then Billy can live with us or whatever, and all will be well. But we know that sometimes all will be well and not in the way we expect, you know, because we just, you know, it doesn't all, it, sometimes all will be well means you say, oh, it was unexpected. This isn't how I would have said all will be well, but it is how all will be well. And Billy said, throw me the blanket. And I threw Billy the blanket. And then she started running around the goose and swaddling it. And she said, it's time for you to go home now. And she started singing a song from a distance, like from a distance, the world looks blue and green and snow-capped swamps or something, you know, from a distance, there's harmony and it echoes through the land, a voice of hope and peace through every swamp-based being. And she swaddled, and then she held, she swaddled the goose bunny, not just in her swaddling blanket, but in her arms. And she was singing to the bunny, and she said, I'm going to take you home to your world where you belong. And I said, and then you'll be back? And she looked right at me, and, you know, tears rolled down her eyes. And I said, oh, dear, I guess that means no. And she said, goodbye, Emma. Goodbye, my better than best friend. And I could only say goodbye. I could only say it with my mouth and not my voice. And she kept singing, and they started to fade in and out and fade in and out. And I guess, like, kind of what happened after that kind of faded out of my mind. I guess eventually they faded away. But for me, it kind of faded into my tears, and I guess maybe I fell asleep from exhaustion or sadness or something. But what happened was that I guess Dari and Tefe's plan had worked out. They had, like, done a ruse to let our community resource department and the regional community resource department know what Dr. Max was up to. So they had sent authority figures to come, and they came to the school, and they said, oh, we're here to, community-based services and to help. What's going on with all these weasels? And these are unauthorized authority figures. And what's Dr. Max doing? And so they said, well, we're going to have to deal with some consequences for all of you. So they took them away and they brought us all. My parents were there and Dari and Tefe. And eventually we all like, you know, got actually because our community rallied around us and made sure that we slowly recovered our physical health and, you know, had the resources to deal with everything and process everything that had happened. And we were validated on the oddness of it all. And I mean, quickly it became like something that just people kind of remember in an inaccurate way. And Willow was there getting even more recovery services so that she could, you know, marshal her own healing process too. And slowly all of our health started to restore. And we saw Willow and we visited her as she was like, you know, like getting better and healthier in her journey. And our community was there for us and our family. I mean, my family's kind of there. And, Tefe was like, oh, yeah, like whatever. But Tefe was a little bit different. And soon it was like a season of giving and Willow was smiling again. And we got a new adventure to play in Bards and Big Bunnies. Dari had given Tefe a new audio, like a new used, like rebuilt audio rock spin doll. And she said, just so you know, this doesn't mean anything though, really, just so you know, but they stayed close. So I don't know what that really means. I don't know. And soon we returned to playing Bards and Big Bunnies and we had this renewed vigor of the game. Because instead of our imaginations were more expanded with more possibilities and then a visceralness that some of this was real, but it was also fun. It was, I don't know, we just really enjoyed it. And I don't know, we just felt closer. You know, three of my best friends were there, Willow, Vaughn, and LJ. And then at night, you know, when I would be home, I would miss Billy. But I also felt like she was there, like singing to me. I could feel her presence. I could feel the vibration of her voice. And I kind of imagined her in another world, snuggling with the singing to the bunny and singing to me at the same time. And I would look at the night sky and say, okay, this is like the Fievel, a mouse in a movie we saw, which would look at the sky. And maybe Billy and the bunny were together looking at the sky. And I said, okay, all's well. It's not the well I wanted, but all is well. Now, little did I know that Billy was not with the bunny. She was out there. And she had, I guess she had, I don't know exactly, but you think she had brought the bunny back to the bunny's world, but she had returned to our world. And she was resting. She was living in the tree where we have the community resource fair since it was still months off. And Leon was watching over her and bringing her food and blankets and comic books and also Bards and Big Bunnies and novels, which she was reading, and she had needed a lot of rest, but she had everything she needed to rest, but we didn't know then, and at night she would sing, and I would feel her presence close by, because even though I didn't know it, she was nearby. And I guess the most important part of the story was, Willow, Dari and Francis's family unit was restored, but it was their life had changed. They had this new appreciation of one another, this new joy, and this new awareness of how important life was and how important it was to accept things that weren't so perfect, and just in how important love was. And supporting one another and being part of a community. And they really just started to treasure, not every moment because they weren't perfect, but a lot of moments and laugh even more knowing, you know, that there's odd things in the world. But when I mention the pieces of imperfection, there is one part of the story I have to kind of close with, a little secret to tide you over, a little secret Willow was keeping. She was keeping it from all of us because, on her side, like underneath her fur on her right side, if you kind of reached under, right under on her side rib cage, there was some, what is that stuff called? Velcro. And, you know, that's not normally on a person, you know, an organic being. And if you pulled the Velcro up, there was a plastic panel on there. Kind of that hard, soft plastic, like a doll, like her body had changed in that one spot to a doll. And when she pulled up the Velcro and pushed on that spot, she kind of made this, this very quiet, baby cry. It was like some sort of mechanism, a mechanical one. When that cry came, she would see that other world where the bunny was running around in a field of carrots, finally free. But also the strange tower going from one world to another world through a piece of, and she said, "Is it?" But it wasn't a dream because she was wide awake and she would only do it when she was alone. And she didn't really tell anybody about it. It was odd. It was another odd thing. But all in all, it was also a reminder that at least for now, all will be well as you get some rest. Thanks for journeying to our swamp and hearing our tale of odd things that had happened. Maybe one day we'll speak again. But it's been my pleasure to talk to you as Emma Otter reporting. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. Molly, Ariana, and Oliver. Thanks, and good night. Joanne, Michelle, and John. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Krista, Allison, and Christina. Thanks, and good night. Brian, Quinn, and Kirsten, thank you, thanks, and good night. Jane, V, Allie, and Jane Y, thank you, thanks, and good night. Noah, Alyssa, and Philip, thank you, thanks, and good night. Pamela, Catherine, and Randy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Cheyenne, Angela, and Darren, thank you, thanks, and good night. And Charlie and Abby. Thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. So Sleeping Exists, a free podcast, because we will support the show directly or support it on Patreon. That's how we'll be here twice a week for you. But we also grow, and people find out about the show just by, for free, spreading the word when it comes up, or talking about podcasts in general. Believe it or not, it has a huge impact on Sleep With Me, because eventually people find their way to the show. So just showing someone how to use a podcast app on their phone, first of all, it helps podcasting. Then second, you get to do something nice. And third, think about the person who discovered, think about it when you discovered podcasts for the first time, or maybe you're just starting to discover them. It's just a wonderful thing. So spread the word. Thanks and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with, the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.